Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Good to see everybody this morning. Technology is wonderful until it doesn't work, but we are glad to have everybody. We have a system here where I control the slides through my iPhone through the internet. And so when the internet quits working, then the slides quit working. So we have to have somebody back there. But we're excited about today. Tonight we will be having a conference, so don't forget that, to come back at 7 o'clock for conference. And 6 o'clock, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Wednesday night. 6 o'clock. So come back at 6 o'clock tonight for conference. And we have several things we're going to discuss, including the vote, which I was not aware that was taking place until Friday morning. So we've been praying about that for a long time, but we haven't brought it up. So we appreciate that. And so we'll be voting tonight for that. And I have asked, since Johnny's not a member, I've asked him to come so he can object. So as soon as we begin to, because we need some drama. We never have drama here. So as soon as we put it up, you know, we're going to vote in Stephen and April Baker, then Johnny's supposed to stand up and say, "I object," and we're going to have some drama. I'm kidding. Yes, I am kidding. But it would be funny. So at any rate, come back for that. This morning we will be continuing our series through Romans, and we've been preaching through Romans, but we've started doing a little miniature series here in chapter 13 on our responsibilities in the new year. It is 2017, and unless you've been asleep the whole time, you're aware of that, and so we're going to be talking about our responsibilities in the new year, and today, our responsibility to our neighbors. Can anybody else hear a ring? There's some sort of echo. Can you back me down a little bit, or maybe the monitors? All right. Is it better now? It's better now. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. All right. So our responsibility in the new year to our neighbors. Now, the first question, why don't we pray and then we'll begin and then we'll talk about this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be here this morning. We do pray that you would forgive us for our sins. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach thy word this morning. And I do pray that you would bless us all and help us to get what we need from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. Romans 13 begins with a discussion of God and government and our responsibility as Christians to the government. And we talked about that two Sundays ago. And so now we're going to move on, and we'll be starting in verse 8, and we'll be talking about our responsibility as Christians to our neighbors. And this is important in the new year to think about how we treat others. Now, the first question I would have, there's still a little bit of an echo. Is it bothering anyone? Sometimes sound equipment does this. Either the devil's fighting the message or our sound equipment's going out. It's one of the two things, so we'll see in a few moments. All right, can y'all hear? All right, everybody can hear, so we're good. We have a responsibility as Christians to our neighbors, but when I think of neighbor, I always think of the story that Jesus told, the parable about the Good Samaritan. Because in that parable, in Luke 10:29, the lawyer that Jesus is speaking with asked, "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?" And so I always think about that. And in that parable, in that story, the purpose of the story was not really to show. Jesus talked about a priest and a Levite that passed by this man while he was laying on the side of the road. And then the only man that helped the man out, because he'd been beaten up and he was half dead, the only people that helped him out, or the only person that helped him out, was a Samaritan. And the Jews despised the Samaritans because they were not pure Jews. They were half-breed. And so the Jews were racist, and they despised the Samaritans. And so the Samaritan was the only man that helped this injured man out, this injured Jew. And Jesus asked the lawyer, he said, which of the three was a neighbor to this man? And the lawyer said, well, the guy that helped him. So he had admitted that it was the Samaritan, the despised Samaritan, that was a neighbor. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. So the point of what Jesus was saying to the lawyer was, is that it's not important who's a neighbor to you. It's important that you be a neighbor to other people. And so this morning when we talk about being a neighbor, being a good neighbor, then what we are talking about is who we are neighbors to and how we can be a good neighbor. So if you look now in Romans 13 and verse 8, and the first point this morning is, don't owe your neighbor anything. Don't owe your neighbor anything. And let me see. Yeah, if you can switch the slide to the next thing, just hit the space bar and it'll advance. All right. Oh. Okay. Okay, there we go. All right. So don't worry. If you listen to this online, I will have edited out all these fillers and things. You're getting the live thing this morning, but we edited it all out, and it sounds like it was just a smooth message, and it's wonderful. So I suggest listening to it online. But don't owe your neighbor anything. The Word of God says in verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So owe no man anything. Now, many people take this verse and they take the first part of that verse and they say that we should never be in any kind of debt as Christians. I've heard that before, that we should never be in any kind of debt because it says owe no man anything. And that's not really what this verse is teaching. But before we talk about that, then we need to go back to verse 7. Now, verse 7 we studied a couple of weeks ago, but verse 8 is connected to verse 7. And in verse 7, the word render is in verse 7. If you look in Romans 13, 7, the Word of God says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, what that is talking about there is your duty towards the government as far as paying your taxes. And so when it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, that's talking about taxes. Custom to whom custom, you would pay customs to the government. And that's what that's talking about. But then it moves down to talking about things that aren't financial. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that bleeds into verse 8 when it says, owe no man anything. And verse 8 is primarily not talking about financial debt, but it is talking about another kind of debt. We're going to talk about that in a second. But first of all, let me just say this. As far as those who think that a Christian should never be in any kind of debt, render therefore to all their dues, let me give an example. Tax debt. Everybody right about this time, actually last month, the property taxes were due. And so everybody pays their property taxes. Not everyone can afford when the county sends you a $1,200 bill. Not everybody can afford to pay that all at once. But the county allows you to make payments on that. All right? So If you are making payments on a large bill that you cannot pay, you are rendering, according to verse 7, you are rendering what is due. Verse 7 was written to exhort people who said, I'm not going to pay my taxes. It was written to say, look, you're a Christian, pay your taxes. We all agree with that, right? We may not like it, but you're a Christian, you should pay your taxes. All right? And that's what it was written for. And so, render therefore to all their dues. But render doesn't mean you can't make payments. Sometimes you have to make payments. Now, the same thing is true when we come down to verse 8. Owe no man anything. That doesn't mean you can't make payments on something. It means that you're not supposed to refuse to pay things. And, for instance, the banking system of lending and borrowing money is not condemned in Scripture. There's a verse in Matthew 25:27, Jesus told the parable of the talents. And in that parable, he distributes talents out, which were pieces of money, out to this man, distributes them out to his servants. And so what he does is he distributes a certain amount of talents to one servant and a certain amount of talents to the other and a certain amount of talents to the other. And then the Lord says, I'm going away, so I want you to multiply these. I want you to make my money make money while I'm gone. And so the servants go and they start making money with his money. But one of the servants is fearful. So he takes the talent that his Lord gave him, and it is hot in here today, is it not? So he takes the talent that his Lord gave him. Do I look like Orville Redenbacher now? I need suspenders, right? But he takes the talent that his Lord gave him, and he's fearful of his Lord. So he buries the talent in the earth. And then when his Lord returns, and the Lord is this, the master of the house is a symbol of Jesus. So when the Lord returns and the Lord demands of whether or not these servants have been faithful with his money, this servant comes forward and he says, I knew that you're a hard man and I was scared of you, so I took your talent. Here's what you gave me. I buried it. Here it is. And the Lord looks at the servant and he says, you're a wicked and lazy servant. And he says in Matthew 25:27, you ought therefore to put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. And so that's the banking system. And Jesus was simply saying in this parable, this Lord is saying, who symbolizes Jesus, you should have at least put my money in the bank where it could be exchanged and loaned out and where it could make interest. And so the Bible does not condemn the banking system. The Bible doesn't condemn taking out loans. None of that's condemned in the Bible. Sometimes you have to do that. The Bible does say the borrower is servant to the lender, and you're very unwise to get yourself into a lot of debt, right? But sometimes we have to borrow money for things. And I could, what time is it, dear? Okay, it's 12:48. So I could tell you a story. Does anybody want to hear a story, or do you want me to move on? Oh, Gene wants to hear a story. Okay, I'll tell you a story. This will illustrate this, but I'll make it a quick story. So I didn't wear a watch, so she's my watch. All right, a couple of years ago, I wanted to I bought my wife a truck, and it was a large truck. It was a Suburban, and I bought it while she was away training. This was several years ago when she was training to be an officer, and she had always told me she wanted an SUV, so I thought I'll get her one. But I only had $1,500 to spend, so I went on Craigslist, and I found one that had 300 and what was it, 50,000 miles on it. And I said, I'm going to get my wife a truck. So I met this, it was a teenager, and I met him. And I drove the thing around, and it drove fine. It was fine. And so I gave my wife this truck, and I thought she'd be pleased. And she was scared. She was like, is this safe to drive? And I said, of course it's safe. I drove it all the way here. It's fine. It's fine. These things can run forever. And so as she drove the truck, I began to realize, because it was, you know, it would leak oil like crazy, and it had different things that were going on. I began to realize that perhaps my wife had always wanted a newer car, and I began to realize perhaps we do need to get something newer. And I just couldn't figure out how we could afford to get anything. And I wanted to get my wife a new car, and I couldn't figure it out, because I didn't believe in making payments on cars. I'd been taught you don't make payments on cars, you pay cash. So I couldn't figure it out. And I was eating dinner with a pastor friend of mine, and I was telling him all about how my wife was driving this truck, she felt unsafe, and my car had a lot of miles on it, and April had been telling me, Stephen, you are spending $200 a month on these cars. If you work out the math, yeah, that's what you're spending to keep them going. And so I finally did the math. I listened to my wife, okay, which is a good thing to do. And I did the math, and I figured out that she was right. I was actually spending more than $200 a month on maintenance and everything to keep these cars rolling. And so I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he said, God is going to give you a car. He said, God has the money. And he's always talking about faith. So I said, yes, God has the money, but I don't have the money. I said, there's no way I can get a car. And he said, you need to have faith. God has the money. So, lo and behold, about a week later, I got something in the mail, and I went down to the Chevrolet dealer, and I talked to them, and I discovered the Chevrolet Spark, which is the car that my wife now drives. And it's a new car under warranty. And I discovered that I could buy the Spark, because it was so inexpensive, and actually pay what I'd been paying to upkeep the cars, and I would have a new car that wouldn't break down. So I got the car for my wife. So I went back, and she was amazed that I was able to get her a car. And I went back and told my pastor friend, he says, see, God got you a car, just like I said. And I said, well, I never thought about making payments. I just didn't realize that God would work that way. And he said, well, you know, we can't put God in a box. Now, he was right. The thing is, sometimes, and I'm telling that long, drawn-out story. Now, I got my wife a half a car. Understand, it's not a full car. It's a half a car. It's part of a car. But it's new, and it's under warranty. So, but I'm, it can fit in Roger's truck bed. But I'm telling that story to make a point. Thank you, Gene, for telling me I could tell a story. I'm telling that story to make a point, and the point is, yes, but owe no man anything. Don't owe anybody anything. Does not forbid making payments. That's the point that I'm trying to make. The point is that you shouldn't go around. There's people that go around and run up bills and just never pay their bills. Okay? And people can fall on hard times. People file bankruptcy. People have problems. And we all understand that. But there's people that are just dishonest. And Christians shouldn't be that way. Christians shouldn't run around running up bills, not paying their bills. Right? We all understand that. And so that's what that means. Now, the second point is, we've said don't owe your neighbor anything, number one. But now the Bible's going to actually tell us we do need to owe our neighbor something. And that is love. love your neighbor. Verse 8 again, owe no man anything but to love one another. Now, what this is saying is simply this. You shouldn't owe your neighbor anything, and mainly since the bottom of verse 7 is transitioning to fear and reverence of authorities, this is not talking mainly about finances here. But what it's mainly talking about is don't owe people malice. Don't owe people bitterness. Don't owe people hatred. Instead, owe love. Owe love. You're supposed to love your neighbor. You're supposed to love your neighbor. And some people are not easy to love. Let's just be honest. You got people that irritate you and get on your nerves. Maybe that's your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor gets on your nerves. Maybe it's other people in the church. But the truth of the matter is, or maybe it's people you work with. But the truth of the matter is, we as Christians are supposed to owe our neighbors love. That's what we're supposed to do. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, what does that mean? If you love somebody, you fulfilled the law. Well, let's drop on down to verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so, verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, you'll notice that all the commandments named in verse 9 have to do with man's duty to man. It does not name, for instance, verse 9 says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment. Those are all the commandments pertaining to man's duty to man. The Puritan commentators used to talk about the two tables of the law. You know, when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, they were brought on stone tablets. And it used to be thought, and this could be true, that on one tablet were all of the commandments pertaining to God, man's duty to God, and on the other tablet, all the commandments pertaining to man's duty to man. And so, thou shalt not commit adultery, that's man's duty to man. Thou shalt not kill, man's duty to man. Thou shalt not steal, man's duty to man. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Those are all man's duty to man. And so all of those commandments and all commandments in the Bible that pertain to man's duty to man are summarized by thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, because love, verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So, the thing is, if I love my neighbor, if I love somebody, I'm not going to steal from them, right? If I love somebody, I'm not going to kill them. I mean, if you love somebody, you're not going to walk up to them and say, hey, I love you, bam, shoot them. You won't do it. Because you love them. If you love somebody, you're not going to take their stuff. If you love somebody, you're not going to covet. You're not going to commit adultery if you love somebody. You love. The Bible says love covereth a multitude of sins. The truth of the matter is love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so, one of the things that we should be doing as a church in 2017 and as Christians in 2017 is we should love our neighbors. We need to love our neighbors. And that doesn't mean just the people next door to you. Again, think of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? We should love people that we work with. We should love people that we're in church with. We should love people that have left our church. We should love people that come back to our church. We should love our neighbors. We should love our neighbors. And love doesn't mean, biblically, just having a squishy feeling in your heart, but it means demonstrating love. It means actions. And sometimes that's hard to do. It's easy to say, I love you. It's difficult to love someone. It's easy for me to say to my wife, I love you. But it's not easy to love my wife. Well, I mean, it is easy to love my wife. I'm going to get myself in trouble. My wife's mean. It's not easy to love her. I know I deserve it. No, I'm saying it's really not. Because, for instance, at our house, love is doing the dishes. It's doing laundry. I hate doing laundry. Let's be honest with you. I hate doing laundry. But that's love to my wife. That is an expression of love. I have been better at doing the dishes, have I not? I'm perfect. I've been loading that dishwasher. And our dishwasher was broken. It's been broken for a long time, and the computer in it went out, so it would only come on randomly and wash the dishes. You'd shut the door and pray. And then maybe a week later, it would come on and start washing the dishes. God has fixed our dishwasher. A couple weeks ago, I hit the start button and it washed the dishes. And it's been doing that ever since. So as long as it does it, I've been washing those dishes. It's great. It's wonderful to have a dishwasher and be able to wash dishes. It's wonderful. And so what I'm saying is that's love. That's love. Love takes work. Love is effort. Love is not just saying that we love people. It's showing that we love people. It's demonstrating love. And so love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. By the way, there's a big difference in fulfilling the law and keeping the law. And I'm going to show you that. That's our last point. So as we've said already, I'm sorry, my voice cracks from time to time. I'm going through a second puberty, so my voice just sound like Mickey Mouse. We said, first of all, don't owe your neighbor anything. Second of all, love your neighbor. That's the one thing we should owe to our neighbors. Shouldn't owe them malice, but love. And then finally, number three, be a good neighbor. Fulfill the law. Fulfill the law. The Bible says love is the fulfilling of the law. And there's a difference between fulfilling the law and keeping the law. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God wants the righteousness of the law to be fulfilled in us. By the way, who wrote that? Paul. Paul wrote it. And Paul was a man who said that when he was lost, before he got saved, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And Paul said, as far as the law was concerned, as touching the law, I was blameless. Hardly anybody could say that. But Paul said, as far as the outward ceremonies of the law, as far as the requirements of the law, I was blameless. This came from a man who was hunting down Christians and having them killed. But Paul said, as far as the outward requirements of the law, as touching the law, I was blameless. In other words, he kept the letter of the law. But he did not keep the spirit of the law. And what Jesus is concerned with is that we keep the spirit of the law, not the letter of it. And so, which no man can keep the letter of the law, but God judges us both on the letter and the spirit. That's why Paul could keep all the outward commandments and God still saw Paul as a sinner. That's why people can go to church for years and can do all the right things, can be baptized, can join the church, can do all kinds of things, and they can still die. They can still die and go to hell. Why? Because God doesn't just look on the outward appearance, but He looks on the heart. And the truth of the matter is, no matter what we're doing on the outside, our hearts have sin. We are sinners. And we need something more than just rules and regulations. We need Jesus Christ. We need Christ to save us and to forgive us and to change our lives. That's what we need. And so that's what Paul discovered on the road to Damascus, Syria. He discovered that and he got saved. And so Paul says here in Romans 8:4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now here's the thing. There are Christians that try to live their lives after the flesh. And as a believer, you as a believer can no longer live in the flesh, but there are believers that try to live their lives pursuing the flesh. And when we do that as believers, when we pursue, when we walk after the flesh, when we pursue the things of this world, we cannot be good neighbors or good Christians because we cannot fulfill the law. The only way you can fulfill the law is to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Let me give you a simple example of this. So, here's a man who's been saved, but his whole life is consumed with trying to live for himself. His whole life is consumed with what can I get out of life? I gotta make money. I've got to accumulate things. I've got to get what I want out of life. And his whole life is consumed with serving himself and what he can get out of life. So he's been saved, he's been born again, but then he lives his life trying to pursue the things of the flesh, the things of the world. But here's a Christian, and this is what God wants us to do, who says, I'm going to walk after the Spirit. I'm going to get my Bible every day, and I'm going to see what God says, and I'm going to ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. I'm going to try and follow the Bible. And I'm going to try to serve God. And so that man is walking after the Spirit, or that lady is walking after the Spirit. And when we do that, when we get in our Bible and we ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit and we try to see what does God want me to do and we try and do that, then we are walking after the Spirit. We're pursuing the things of the Spirit, and therefore we are fulfilling the law. Because when you're walking after the Spirit, when you're pursuing God's things, then God fills you with His Spirit and He fills you with love so you can love your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, you're not trying to steal from your neighbor. You're not trying to kill. You're not trying to do those things. So love is the fulfilling of the law. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, in summary, our responsibility to our neighbors in the new year. Number one, don't owe your neighbors malice, but owe them love. Don't owe your neighbors malice, but owe them love. It's easy to get mad at people. Is it not? Easy to get mad at people. I get mad at people all the time. It's easy to do. That's our flesh. And so it's easy to get mad at people, but don't owe your neighbors malice. Owe them love. Try to love people. Demonstrate love. Number two, in summary, walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. It's easy to walk after the flesh. It's easy to just, it's actually, truth of the matter is, if you're saved, it's not easy. That's a lie. It's not easy to walk after the flesh because you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you that's constantly saying to you, go the other way. He wants you to follow God. I tell the guys in jail when I preach in jail that a lot of them have been saved, and they keep trying to live their life the way they lived it before they got saved. And when they do that, they're walking this way, and God is going this way. And when you're going this way, and God's going this way, you collide, and you get knocked down. And I tell the guys in jail, and I'll tell you the same thing. If you find that you're trying to go in the opposite way of God, and you keep getting knocked down and knocked down and knocked down, there's a reason why you're getting knocked down. Going against God is like walking into a freight train. It's going to knock you down every time. So it's easier to just turn around and go God's way. People used to say to Billy Sunday, Billy, you rubbed the cat's fur the wrong way. And Billy Sunday said, I don't. Let the cat turn around. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn around and go God's way. So a walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And then finally, to be a good neighbor during the new year, we need to be a good neighbor, not a passer-by. Is that up on the screen? It is up on the screen. Now, thank you, Jeff. Passer-by is not a real word. Okay? It's made up. But I take it from Luke 10:31-32, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because the Bible says the priest saw him and passed by. And the Levite saw him and passed by. Now, in this new year, the easiest thing for us to do is to just pass by. Our neighbors need help, we just pass by. Somebody needs somebody to pray with them, and we pass by. Somebody needs us to listen, and we just pass by. We're busy. It's easier for us to just pass by. You need to witness to somebody, but instead, you pass by. It's easy to pass by. And so, what I'm saying this morning is, be a good neighbor, don't be a passerby. Don't just pass by your neighbors, but stop and help. Help. Do what God is leading you to do. Our responsibility to our neighbors in the new year. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let's fulfill the law this year. Let's ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Let's get in the Bible every day, and let's not be passerbyers, but let's help our neighbors and be the kind of neighbors we ought to be in this upcoming year. We were just talking about this in Sunday school this morning, being a good neighbor. And that's what we need to do as a church this year. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work that you're doing in this place.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.